Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Speak only the truth. We have been studying the importance of what happens when a person becomes a Christian. He is immediately brought into God's family, and so now he is one Lord, one faith, and one in the same family of God. And then we are told that if a person is born again, he must put off the old man. The old man that was characterized by corruption and by deceitful lusts. And then we are told to replace that old man with a new man, to put on the new man in verse 24, which is now characterized by righteousness and true holiness. Then from verse 25 to the end of this chapter, the Bible will now explain to us that this putting off and putting on the new man is not a once-for-all act on our part, because the Bible is not talking about salvation. It's not as if when I don't put on my new man and I do not put off my old man, I lose my salvation. An unbeliever has no power to put off the old man. He will remain characterized by deceitful lust and corruption. Everything that he does will only bring death. This is on the assumption that you're already born again. And what is at stake is our testimony and our witness. Because Jesus tells us in John chapter 9 that as long as I am in the world, I will remain the light of the world. But Jesus is seated at God's right hand. And so how is he still the light of the world? How does he remain on this earth in order to be the light of the world? So that when we go tracting an evangelism to tell people, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But Jesus says, if I am no longer on this earth, that salvation is not possible. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is still on this earth, even though he's seated at God's right hand interceding for us, as Romans 8 tells us. So how is he on this earth? Through the witness and testimony of God's children. When God's children live the life in accordance to God's truth, all of them will bear only one image, and that is the image of Jesus Christ. So that when they look at you, they see Christ. When they look at me, they see Christ. When they look at your neighbor, they see Christ. When they look at all of us, they are supposed to see only Christ, and that's the new man. And the reason is obvious, very obvious to us, because as long as they continue to see the old man, they're not going to find salvation. Not only will they not find salvation, they're going to find a stumbling block. Because you go out and tell people you are a Christian. And then when they look at your life, and they do not see the Christ of the Scripture, you have just deceived them. You have just presented a distorted Christ, and they're going to hate Christ. So much so that months later, if a genuinely born-again, godly witness share Christ with this individual that you have stumbled, he will just simply repudiate and tell the person, I'm not interested in your Christ, even before you could complete your sentence. Because he thought that Christ is that image that you have presented to him. He did not know that you have presented a false image. Because even though you are truly born again, you have continued to behave like the old man. And so Jesus says you have to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is now characterized by righteousness and true holiness, that when they look at your life, they're going to see the Christ of the Scripture. And you and I know that the only name under heaven and on this earth that can save the sinner out of death and hell and from his sin is Jesus Christ. And that is why it is so needful and important for all of us who take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart and to confess him with our lips and to tell people, I am a Christian. That is what we all must do. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Tell them, I'm a Christian. But the next step means, look at my life and you're going to see Christ. That's what it means by telling people you are a Christian. And this morning, we're going to focus on one aspect of the new man, his life. And that is to speak only the truth. God willing, the following few weeks, we're going to talk about anger. We're going to talk about stealing. We're going to talk about many other aspects of a believer's life and how he needs to impact the people around him through the new man that he is now in Christ. Not the work of man. It is the work of God. The person already has the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He cannot help himself. For this new man is not of the will of man. It is not based upon the power of man. It is truly based upon the work of God when a person truly accepted Jesus Christ into his heart. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sin. He knows this and he begged God for mercy. And when he confesses Jesus Christ with all his heart, unconditional surrender to the Lord, and ask the Heavenly Father to save him and to have mercy upon him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he receives Christ into his heart and into his life. And he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sin, rose from the dead for his justification. The Bible says Jesus Christ will immediately baptize him with the Holy Spirit. And from that moment onwards, the Holy Spirit will indwell him. And then the transformation of his entire heart and his entire life, from the mind to his motivation and from his to his lips and through his deeds, everything will little by little be transformed. And more of the image of Christ will be seen in his life. And that's what putting on the new man means. And so the first aspect concerning the putting off of the old man that the Apostle Paul wanted to highlight is lying, because the word putting away is exactly the same as the verb put off in verse 22. Same idea. Put it as far away as possible. Lying. Why did God pick this as the first on the list? There's so many things like anger. He's going to touch upon that in verse 26. And then stealing in verse 28. Lying. Because of lying, Hitler was able to deceive a nation whereby millions of Germans were prepared to lay down their lives for him. Lying. Because of Satan's deception, Eve was deceived. And through her, Adam fell. And through Adam, all humanity fell into sin. It is no accident that God revealed to us that Satan is known as the father of lies. The old man, your life and my life before salvation, was characterized by telling lies. You do not believe this? You watch your young child. Very soon, the moment they know the difference between the right hand and the left hand, you're going to experience them telling you lies. And if you do not nip it in the bud from its very onset, you can rest assured they're going to lie some more. And before you know it, they are so good at it that it becomes such second nature. And when that happens, you are in serious trouble. That child of yours is in very serious trouble because he has now lost the ability to distinguish between what is true and what is lying. He got so used to telling lies. I'm not sure whether you know of this actor who has passed away. His name was Peter Sellers. He used to act in this movie called Pink Panther. And so they interviewed him on BBC one day because he was so good at imitating voices of the character that he portrayed. If he was acting as a Frenchman and he is able to speak English like a Frenchman, he changes tone, changes voice, changes accent. So whatever character that was posed to him, he was able to master this ability. And so one day, after many, many years of acting, he was interviewed and they asked him, "Mr. Sellers, can you tell us what is your real voice, the voice that you are born with?" There was a pause, there was a silence. And then his answer was, "Actually, I have forgotten. I do not know what my real voice is. I do not know what my real accent is. I have forgotten." When a person tells lies long enough, he gets so used to it that he has lost his ability to distinguish between what is real, what is truthful, and what is falsehood. Lying has always characterized our world. Lying has always characterized our lives. We may not like to admit this, but that's the way of our world. We split it up into black lies and white lies. And some of us feel that telling white lies, as long as the outcome and the motive is sincere and is right, it's okay. As long as it doesn't hurt that person, it's okay to tell lies once in a while. People lie because they want to get something. People lie because of pride. People lie because they think they are gods. Because when you lie thinking that this is good for the other person, you are basically playing God. You are trying to manipulate and change the consequence or outcome by your present lying. No matter what you do, bear in mind there is no justification for lying. It is a characteristic of the old man. And as Christians, do not lie. I'm not sure whether you know of this couple, Ananias and Sapphira. When you study the book of Acts, it is a very interesting book to study because it describes the birth of the first local church. They have no pre-guideline on how to run a church. There is no order of service. There are no such thing as fellowship groups. There is no such thing as Sunday school. They just got saved. And now what are we going to do after salvation? They can't join the nation of Israel that had just rejected Christ. And so God said, you are supposed to start a new group of witness. And they are called a church. And it must begin only with Jews. And then later on, expand it to include Samaritans, half Jews, half Gentiles, and then ultimately bring in all the Gentiles. And so little by little, God revealed to us how the church was born. There were enemies on the outside. And then there were problems inside the church where some of the widows from the Greeks and the Jews, they were not well looked after. And so other men were raised up to help and to support. And then we have a record of the first transgression inside the church. And that was Ananias and Sapphira. They were pretty well off. And when the church began long ago, many of them were very poor. And so those who had more, like Barnabas, he sold everything that he had and he brought to the apostles for distribution, for sharing, because now they realize that we are one family in Christ. And so when you see other family members, brothers and sisters in Christ struggling with no food, nothing to eat, nothing to wear, no home. And so many of them who had plenty, who had more than enough, they sold all that they had, and then they gave to the apostles for distribution, for sharing. Ananias and Sapphira also wanted to do that. And so they also sold their piece of property. But however, they wanted the reputation of being generous, and yet at the same time, they do not want to give everything. And so they gave a portion, half. But when they gave half, they wanted people to think that they have given all. And so when they brought their gift to the apostles, the apostle Peter charged them, "Why did you lie to the Holy Spirit?" Immediately, Ananias dropped it and died. The wife was not around. Men came to carry his body out. A few hours later, the wife came, and she was asked the same question because they were in collusion. And the moment she said it was everything, she also dropped it and died. She did not know that her husband had died. The first transgression in the first church in Jerusalem was the sin of lying. Why did God not strike us dead when we lie inside the church? And I'm sure many of us, all of us, in fact, after salvation, we also tell lies, but we did not die like Ananias and Sapphira. And so there was this pastor who said this, who cited this example as well. And then he said, okay, Ananias and Sapphira, why did God not strike us dead the way that he did Ananias and Sapphira? And so he said, if God were to do the same and employ the same high standard on this church, do you know where I would be? And so some of his members laugh. And then he completed it. Do you know where I will be? I will be in a church with no members. True or not true? Why did God do that? The reason why God did that is because God wanted to warn us, warn all churches in the future. My standard of holiness in every church is that no one must come to church and tell lies. If you ever do, I have the right to strike any one of you dead instantaneously. But the fact that I did not is not because God has gone to sleep. Not because he did not know. It's because God showed mercy. And remember, mercy is not infinite. God is showing patience. God is showing long-suffering. It's not infinite. There will come a point in time where God will intervene. And when God intervenes, it could result in terminal illness. It definitely could result in death the way that Ananias and Sapphira died. So do not treat lying as a very trivial matter. It is extremely serious. If you do not stop lying, God will deal with you. He means exactly what he says. Do you know that liars will not be found in the kingdom of heaven? Revelation chapter 21 tells us that. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelations 21 verse 8. Don't treat lying lightly. Don't be deceived by the world telling us that it's okay to tell lies. The Bible also concluded in Revelation 22 verse 15. For outside of heaven are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Are you a liar? Do you tell the truth? One of the things that we find very common in counseling is this. When you listen to two persons who are at odds, quarreling, you listen to person A, and then you listen to person B first. Listen to person B later. You'll find that when person B relates his side of the story, he is putting himself in a very good light, and that the blame and the fault often lies in person B. And the person A is very convinced that he is telling the truth. And then when you speak to person B separately, you're going to find that person B will say the same about person A. And he is also very convinced and sincere that he is telling the truth. Until you put the two of them together, and they're going to argue and argue to no end. And sometimes over very foolish and trivial matters. And they would argue, I'm right, you are wrong, I'm right, you are wrong. So much so that they have forgotten there was a greater issue. Their relationship are all at odds. If both of them are Christians, both of them are wrong, there's no right. The fact that they are at odds, they have really brought shame to the image of Christ that they bear. Remember, it is the image of Christ that is at stake, not yours. You call yourself a Christian and you do not reflect the image of Christ according to scriptures. You damage the image of Christ, and all the people in your life, they are going to have a distorted image of Christ. And you will jeopardize their salvation if they are not born again. And those who are born again will be stumbled by your behavior and your conduct. Lying is so common today that we even have pastors writing articles, giving us the long list, telling their members, under these circumstances, it's okay to tell lies. Do you know this? We are not talking about pastors from other churches. We're talking about pastor from a BP church. And he dared to put it on the church website, telling the members as well as anyone who is bothered enough to read, to tell people that it is okay to tell lies under these circumstances. Rahab, he claims, well, God bless him when she told a lie. Rahab lied, but she was not blessed for lying. Abraham lied when he went down to Egypt, saying that Sarah was his sister. Yes, she was his half-sister, but it was a lie. God rebuked him. He was not blessed for telling lies. God will never bless anyone for lying, because God himself gave us a commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Plagiarism is lying, is cheating. You put into your paper the words and the writings of somebody else, and then you present it as if it is your own. That is deception. Part of the whole category, the family of sins called lying. Tell the truth at all costs, no matter what the consequence might be, because you cannot allow lying to characterize your life. Because once it does, and you are found out, people can't trust you. You and I know that as Christians, you only have your word. Your word must be your bond. Your word must mean everything to you. Oath making. When we get married, we make oath. When we become members of a church, we make oath. When we go to court, we put our hand on the Bible, we make oath. Keep them at all costs. Keep your word. Let us be men and women and children of our word, because God cannot lie. And if you say that you are a Christian, let this hallmark and characteristic of God be thrust forward, that everyone who sees you, they see this amazing, wonderful characteristic, that here stands a man of truth. Whatever he says, it will be true, because he has always told the truth, regardless. Don't make excuses, don't invent scenarios to justify telling lies. As a child of God, you must now follow the characteristic of your new Heavenly Father. He cannot lie, and therefore we must not lie. The old man, when we were not born again, our other father was the devil. We were characterized by lying. That was what we were like. Please, be honest with your own soul, because some of us may have already become so bad that we may perhaps severed our own conscience. That when we tell lies, we can't even distinguish it. Like Peter Sellers has lost his ability to discover and find out what was his original voice, his tone. He has lost it. So good in imitating, pretending, that he has forgotten. As a child of God, don't lie. Stop lying. Put it as far away from you as possible. That's what the Bible says. And then speak every man truth with his neighbor. Keep on speaking the truth only. Gain back what you may have lost, your reputation of telling the truth, so that nobody will ever see the old man in you and in me. Now, we have just said the Lord's Prayer. I got this from the book of Illustration. This is what it says. I cannot say our if I live only for myself. I cannot say father if I do not endeavor every day to act like his child. I cannot say who art in heaven if I am laying up no treasure there. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I am not striving for holiness. I cannot say thy kingdom come if I am not doing all in my power to hasten that wonderful event. I cannot say thy will be done if I am disobedient to his word. I cannot say on earth as it is in heaven if I will not serve him here and now. I cannot say give us this day our daily bread if I am dishonest or am seeking things by subterfuge. I cannot say forgive us our debts if I harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in his path. I cannot say deliver us from evil If I do not put on the whole armor of God, I cannot say, thine is the kingdom. If I do not give the king the loyalty due him from a faithful subject, I cannot attribute to him the power. If I fear what man may do to me, I cannot ascribe to him the glory. If I'm seeking honor only for myself, and I cannot say forever, if the horizon of my life is bounded completely by time, by what I see on this earth. As we say the Lord's Prayer, Sunday after Sunday, do you realize the implication as what this author unknown had highlighted? Very true, isn't it? You and I are more liars than we choose to admit. Let us be men and women and children that will always tell the truth. Speaking truth before God. Speak truth to every one of us. Man to man. Speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Whoever God brings into your life, let it be only the truth. No lying. We find such people in churches today. We find such people in church leadership today. Somehow or other, they will do whatever it takes, including lying, to get what they want. We live in a world where shame is not something that the world would react to. Nobody seems to care. You know what the ex-president Bill Clinton did, right? In the Monica Lewinsky saga. He went on television in front of his entire nation and the world, staring into the camera, and then he would lie to the whole world and to his own people. And yet, he could be the president of America. That's the kind of world that we're living in. Why are the people of the nation of America not upset with him? Why do they still want to re-elect him? Why do they still want him to be their president? Perhaps it's because they're all liars. Well, he is lying. Well, he is the biggest of all, but we are all liars. We are all pretenders, pretending to be somebody that we are not. Academy Award. Do you know what that is, right? When a person is presented with the Best Actor, Best Actress Award, what they are telling one another in the grand ballroom with all those actors and actresses decked in all their beautiful fineries, the expensive garments, their gold, their silver, their precious stones, very well off, very rich, red carpet treatment, and they all come together with a whole world of idols, idolizing these idols. What they are doing is simply this, telling the whole world, out of all the actors and actresses, these two are the best, right? That's what Best Actor Award, Best Actress Award. But you know what actors and actresses are, right? All of them are hypocrites. All of them are liars. They're pretending to be somebody they are not. That's what acting is, right? And so you have this person getting an award for becoming the best doctor in this movie. That person never even gone to medical school, not even for 1 second. And yet he can pretend to be such an amazing doctor that of all the hypocrites in that room, they are basically telling him, among all these hypocrites, you are the best hypocrite. Right? That's what it is. And we are all used to it. And then when you see on the newspaper that this movie has so many Academy Awards, and then we think, wow, this must be very good because so many Academy Awards. That means these people are master, they are very good in deception. That's what our world is like nowadays. And therefore, since everybody is doing it, and everybody is doing it so well, and these people are rewarded for telling lies, for living the life of a hypocrite, why not me? Why can't I join in the bandwagon? But God says to the Christian, the only antidote against telling lies is to make sure that you tell the truth. Not only when you make oaths. You tell the truth in your day-to-day conversation. Because Jesus says, When you are faithful in the least, you're going to be faithful in the much. When you tell the truth in your day-to-day conversation, guarantee you will tell the truth when you make oath. That is taught very clearly by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 and verse 37. He made that abundantly clear. Because the people in his days were very good in telling lies. They understood commandment number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold you guiltless. Anyone who will take his name in vain. Well, therefore, as long as I make an oath in the name of the Lord, I will keep it. And so therefore, I will not make an oath in the name of the Lord. And so in the days of Christ, they make oath in the name of heaven. They make oath in the name of earth. They make oath in the name of Jerusalem. They make oath in the name of their own head. I swear by this, I swear by that. And Jesus said to them, all these things that you sworn, that you swear upon, such as heaven, is it not God's throne? And therefore it is linked to God. You swear by the earth, it is not God's footstool, therefore it is still part of God. What about Jerusalem? It is the city of the great king. It is God's capital city. About your own head, you swear on something that you have no power to make one hair white or black. So you swear on something that is beyond your ability. And so Jesus said to them, stop making oath and stop having many different degrees of keeping the truth. Only when you swear in the name of the Lord, then I mean what I say, I will do it. But if I don't swear in the name of the Lord, then everybody in that society has the right and privilege not to keep it. You can break it as you think fit. That was the society. And so Jesus said to everyone who is born again, the Sermon on the Mount is about salvation. It's about the fruit of salvation, the evidence of salvation. And Jesus says, but let your conversation be yea, yea, nay, nay. That's it. Very plain and simple. If it is yes, say yes. If it is no, say no. That is your day-to-day conversation. Because anything more than these, Jesus says, is evil. You intend to deceive that person, to cheat that person. Tell the truth. Be men and women that is characterized by truthfulness every time you speak and you open your mouth. Tell the truth. Why? Because that's the new man that God wants us to reflect. Because God is always truthful. Christ is always truthful. If you cannot tell the truth, how are you going to give the gospel? Because the gospel, even if you said it perfectly and correctly and biblically, but because you are characterized by telling lies, and then you share with the person, Jesus died on the cross for your sin. God the Father loves you very much. That's why Jesus died for you when you were his enemies. Believe in him. If you die in your sin without Jesus Christ, do you know where you will end up? You end up in hell. If you are characterized by lies, you think the person will believe anything you say? We know everything you said is true. It's found in the scriptures. But because your character has always been characterized by half-truth, 95% truth, and you now have a reputation as somebody who will manipulate the truth, massage the truth, even when you are now telling the honors to goodness, biblical truth, they don't believe you. Don't let that characterize your life. You bear the image of Christ now. Please realize what that means. Only Jesus Christ can save a sinner who is now bound for hell. You hate that person so much that you want to deceive him and present to him a Christ who tells lies. Do you know that you have just sealed his fate? He is now going to be very, very upset and angry with Christ that you have just presented to him. And you know, when he rejects Christ, the only name that can save him, his fate is gone. That's it. It's all over. No name on earth can ever deliver him from the depths of hell except Christ. And you have just ruined it for him. Why then do you want to call yourself a Christian if you intend to do that? If you're truly born again, you cannot
remotely even want to do that. You just don't want to because you have tasted how wonderful and how amazing salvation is, isn't it? Salvation is so wonderful and so great that your mind is completely transformed and changed. Now you're able to think rightly. You think in a way that is godly. You are not able to do that. You're so uncertain and unsure. It used to be full of the philosophies of man that is characterized by death and hopelessness. And now your mind and your thinking is characterized by God's truth that is so ever hopeful. And then your heart and your motive is no longer characterized by materialism, by the glory and the accolades of man. And now it is characterized by the love of Christ that you just simply want to do what is right, expecting nothing in return, only God to be pleased with you. That's it. That's it. Because of the love that you have for the Savior, that you want the world to know that Jesus Christ is still the Savior of the world. You know what salvation is like. You know how amazing and wonderful it is. And it is because of the Jesus Christ of the Bible that you have embraced. And now Jesus Christ saved you. He did not bring you back to heaven immediately. He wants you to remain on earth and to be a witness to your neighbor. Who are your neighbors? Your family. Your friends. Go out and witness to them. But this particular neighbor is a very unique kind of neighbor. It's not just anyone out there, but every man a truth, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So this neighbor is not an unbeliever neighbor. We know the Bible says everyone that God brings into our life is our neighbor. We need to witness to them. But this particular group of neighbor, the last part of verse 25 narrows it down to Christians only. And he did not call us Christians. He says, for we are members one of another. Now the word members here describes the limbs of a body. That means we are one body. Bringing us back to the early verses of chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of us all, one body. Guard and protect this unity that God has given to us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Telling the truth is the best way. We are one body. We are the same. Why would one limb want to hurt the other limb? Why would your right hand want to hurt the left hand? Why would the right hand take a blade and splice the wrist of the left hand? He has to be sick. He has to be a person who is hopeless. That's why he wanted to commit suicide. But a Christian, Christ is the head. You think Christ would want the right hand to hurt the left hand or the left hand to hurt the right hand? You and I know what injury is. When one part of your body is injured, every other part of your body will go there to assist that part that is injured. When the leg cannot walk, the hands will do its utmost to help the person walk. Right? You just witness how a senior pastor walked down. The hand will take the walking stick and help. Cooperate, help one another. Don't hurt one another by lying to one another. Why do you want to do that? Your witness and my witness is twofold. When you go out into the world and witness for Christ, it is to witness for Christ to sinners who need salvation. They are all dying in sin. And Satan is very, very much in charge out there. And he will do his utmost to hurt you and to destroy your witness. And that's why if you go out there desiring to characterize your life by telling the truth, please don't let Satan succeed in deviating you from this very biblical and important mission. Let them know that you are a person who will tell them the truth about who they are, what they need, Jesus Christ. And he will do his utmost. And then when you come back to church, it is another witness now. And this witness is to brothers and sisters in Christ, whereby we are to help one another, encourage one another, to build each other up, not to tear each other down. That's what the world will do to Christians. Satan will have his followers and his many, many methods to try to tear us down out there. And so when you come back to church, it's supposed to be a place of safety, a place of spiritual nourishment and rejuvenation. When you come back, you have rest. And you build yourself up before you are out there again from Monday to Saturday, and then you come back. And that's why in between these days, we have Bible studies, we have prayer meeting to help any one of you Because the world is not your friend. The world out there wants to demolish and destroy your witness and your testimony. Please realize and understand this. When you take the name of the Lord your God in vain, that's what it means. You take upon the name of the Lord your God when you tell people you are a Christian. Now you have just taken on the name of Christ, which is correct. God wants us to do that. But don't turn it into an empty name. That's what the word vain means. It turned it into an ordinary name. You know all the names of man on this earth are vain. You know that. And even when it is vain, vain means empty, useless. The world still want to defend that name. And they defend it with all their might. They defend it with all their money. You try to tear down the reputation of a president, of a prime minister, he takes you to task because he knows that all he has is his name. You call him a liar, you call him a cheat, you call him a thief. If it is not true, he will take you to task. Because how will he remain as a leader when his reputation is gone? He defends his name. But his name is useless in the eyes of God because his name is not going to save anyone out of the depths of hell. Only Jesus Christ can. And so the world out there will try his best to destroy your witness for Christ, to destroy Christ's name that you bear. So don't go out there and tell lies. Go out there and tell the truth. And when you come back into the church, all the more you must tell the truth. Because we are one body. We are here to help one another. We are not here to hurt one another. That's why later on many of these sins, anger, stealing, forgiveness, all these things will come in to encourage us, to help us remember and realize the importance of the new man, the reflection of Christ that is found in your life and in my life. And I need your help. Just as you need my help. We need each other. I need your help to help me. So that the reflection of Jesus Christ become clearer and clearer for people to see. And I will hopefully do the same for you. That's why we have Bible studies. We have counseling. We have good, honest Christian fellowship. That's why we have the lunch afterwards, hoping that as many of you as possible to stay behind. Why? Because we do not want you to just come and then leave. This church must not just be a place where you just come and disappear. It is a place where you come and we mutually help one another. We are same members of the same body, of one another. That's what it means. One another here means of the same, exactly the same kind. Not one another of a different kind. Same body of Christ. Have Christian fellowship. Mutually provoking one another unto more love, deeper love for Christ, and to do more good works. So that when you go out there, the world will hurt you. The church must not hurt you. The church must be a place to help you. Help you prepare yourself before you are thrust into the world again from Monday to Saturday. And if you can, come for our Bible studies. On Friday night, we have AF Bible studies. On Thursday, we have Bible studies. On Wednesday, we have Bible studies. On Friday, we have Bible studies for different age groups. Why? For the same reason, the same purpose, to build each other up. And how can we do that? When we meet, we tell lies to one another. When we lie to one another, that will destroy, that will bring in to the church, the world. Don't let that happen. We are not on different sides. We are not only on the same side. God deliberately used a description to tell us that we are of the same body. That when this hand feels the pain, it's not the hand that feels the pain only, the whole body feels the pain. How can we help one another when we can't even be truthful to one another? That's why the Bible urges us, God urges all of us who are born again, speaking the truth to one another because we are all of the same body, one of another, as Christians. Can this be the characteristic that dominates this church? You are the church. The church is not the building. It's not like writing the word truth, truth, truth and covering all the walls of this building. It's your life that you are. A person who will tell the truth when people talk to you. Even simple day-to-day conversation is truth. Tell each other the truth. And so afterwards, when a person asks you, how are you? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? So after the service, somebody will ask you, how are you this morning? You ask the person, how much time do you have? Tell the person the truth. I'm a little tired. After two long days of session retreat, more than a little tired, exhaustion. Sometimes I forget what day it is when I wake up. And then yesterday morning, 3 hours with another church to help them. And then in the afternoon, another message. And thank God last night didn't have any speaking engagement so I can spend time with my family. And then this morning, some more messages. After this BBK, and then after that, the 2 p.m. tracting, and then 4:30 Bible study, and then sunset. Thank God I didn't have to go to other churches like last week. How am I? Tired. And then the whole week of FEBC will start all over again. From Monday to Sunday, and you'll go on and on and on. Tired, but very, very thankful to the Lord. Very happy that I can serve the Lord. That the Lord continue to give me strength to serve Him. And hopefully, little by little, God's people in this church may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as some in other churches that seek our help to help them. Little by little, day by day. I dare not even think about tomorrow or the next day. I'll be overwhelmed. Just think of one day at a time and one ministry at a time. Just do your best. That's how I am. But how are you? You and I must be well in our soul. You must be right with the Lord. Don't hide from the Lord so that you will not need to hide from man. Let our lives be characterized by God's truth. Why? Because our Heavenly Father cannot lie. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Your grace and Your mercies in our lives. For You have saved us to the uttermost by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, to take away the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. But Thou hast also given to us a new life in Christ, a life that is now to be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit and to be characterized by truthfulness. Help us, O Lord, from henceforth to be men and women of truth, that when we relate to one another in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can trust one another, for we are part of the same body of Christ, same members one of another. May we never lie to one another, and we ever have, O Lord, may Thou forgive us, and may Thou also seek each other's forgiveness, that we may protect this unity that You have entrusted to us in Christ Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism, because of the common salvation that we all have in the common Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercies and Your grace in our lives, for preserving our footsteps, and for giving to us the life on this earth after salvation to carry this awesome mission and privilege to a world that is dying in sin, that when they look at our lives, they will see our good works and they will see Christ and glorify our Father who art in heaven. This is our heart's cry, O Lord, that the image of Jesus Christ may become clearer and clearer with every passing day as the Word of God sanctifies us, as the motive of Christ continue to constrain us. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.